Thanks for listening to the Revelation Lecture Podcast, an audio service of the Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary Library. For more, please visit www.wls.wells.net. Lecture 7, Part A.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we study thy holy word, grant us the presence of thy Holy Spirit, that from it we may gain the assurance that your people will always be safe in the midst of all the troubles and the trials which will afflict this world before the second coming of Christ. We ask thee to keep us firm in that conviction, and so that we may find comfort and hope in it until the day when we will stand around the throne of glory with thee to sing thy praises through all eternity. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, tonight then we want to cover chapters 15, 16, 17, and 18, 17, 18, and 19. Now, chapter 15 really is the introduction then to the next vision. It's the seventh vision in this series of visions. We had six of them last time. Now there's one more, and in this vision, John has a vision of heaven. He sees the saints around the throne rejoicing over their salvation. At the same time, he also sees the seven angels that have the seven last plagues, which are typified then by the seven bowls or the seven vials. If you have the King James Bible, it's seven vials or seven bottles. In the NIV uses the word bowls, which is also a proper translation of that word. The Greek word can either be a bottle, it's a container of some kind. And you can translate it as a bowl or a vial or a bottle. Any one of those fits. Now, in these seven bowls are the seven last plagues. And as those seven bowls are tipped out over the earth, the seven plagues then strike the people of this earth. Now, let's take a look then at chapter 15. I already called your attention to the fact that you have the same arrangement here that you have in the vision of the seven seals and the seven trumpets. You remember you had the six trumpets brought you up to the end of the world and the day of judgment, and then you had a vision of the saints in heaven, and that was followed then by the vision of the seven seals, didn't I? You had six seals that bring you up to the day of judgment in chapter 6. And then in chapter 7, you have this vision of the saints before the throne of God, this innumerable company that was clothed in white robes, standing around the throne. And then in chapter 8, you have then the seventh seal, the opening of the seventh seal, which introduces then the vision of the seven trumpets. Now here in chapters 12, 13, 14, and 15, you have the seven visions. I saw, I remember I called your attention to that in the NIV, you don't have it quite as clear. You have, I saw, I looked, but the same word in Greek translated in these two different ways in English. And then the last I saw in the series of seven is in chapter 15 at the beginning. There you have then the seventh vision, and that seventh vision introduces the vision of the seven vials. So that you have those two series of visions that are tied together, and that's in the same way. So that the last vision in the first series is the beginning of the second series of seven visions. Or no, chapter 15, I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign, seven angels with the seven last plagues, last because with them God's wrath is completed, and I saw what looked like a sea of glass. Now we've seen that sea of glass before. Remember that the saints were standing around the throne, which was surrounded by a glassy sea, a sea of glass, which is, of course, a sea which has not a ripple in it. The perfect peace and the perfect rest of heaven is typified then by that perfectly quiet ocean that surrounds the throne. Now, John sees this sea of glass again, but the sea of glass is mixed with fire. And fire is a symbol that is used in the Bible quite often. It's used in different ways. Sometimes fire is a symbol of zeal, a fiery zeal, a burning zeal. Jeremiah, for example, says that one time he made up his mind that he wasn't going to preach the word of God anymore. But he says, it was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I couldn't stay. I could not stop preaching, even though it had brought me nothing but suffering. And so fire there is a zeal for God's word. The same idea certainly is in the fire of Pentecost, which set those men on fire so that they were ready to go out and preach the word of God. But most of the time when the Bible uses the word fire, it's a symbol of God's anger and God's judgment. The fire of the last day, for example, certainly is a reminder of that. Or 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, where it says, the Lord Jesus will come from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on all them that know not God and that obey not the Lord Jesus Christ. And that probably is the symbolism here too. This glassy sea, which is a symbol of perfect rest for God's people, is at the same time mixed with fire. And that fire shows itself then in the wrath of God, which is poured out in the seven bowls. So that on the one hand, God brings perfect peace to his people, but he brings destruction and judgment on his enemies. Now he says that standing around beside the sea, those who had been victorious. Now, those who had been victorious is a harking back to something that is found in almost every one of the seven letters. I think it is found in every one of the seven letters. You remember that phrase, to him that overcometh, at the end of each one of those letters? To him that overcometh, I will give to sit with me in my throne. To him that overcometh, I will give to be clothed in white raiment. He that overcometh will be a pillar in the house of my God. Now, he that overcometh, the Greek word for that is he that is victorious. And so here you have a reference back to that. The English translation doesn't help you to see that relationship. But the same Greek word, which is translated he that overcometh in the seven letters, is the word that is used here, those who had been victorious. So if you'd want to keep the similarity between the two, you would translate here, those who had overcome over the beast and his image and over the number of his name. They held harps given them to them by God and sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Now the song of Moses was the song that Moses and the children of Israel sang after they went through the Red Sea. You all know that story. The children of Israel left Egypt on the day of the Passover, the day after the Passover rather, marched to the Red Sea, following the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, and there at the shores of the Red Sea they were stuck. The army of Pharaoh was behind them. There was nothing but desert to their left and nothing but desert to their right, as far as you could see, a hopeless desert, so that there was no way to go in either direction, and either to the north or to the south or to the west, and in front of them was the Red Sea, and they couldn't go that way. And Pharaoh said, now we've got them. See? Pharaoh, first of all, drove them out of Egypt, then he wanted to bring them back, and he said, the wilderness has shut them in. In other words, they're trapped in the wilderness. They can't possibly get out now because we've got them pinned against the Red Sea. And then you know what happened. God opened the Red Sea and they marched through on dry land. The Egyptians were drowned. And then after they were on the other side of the sea, they sang a great hymn of victory. So the song of Moses is a song of victory. And now these people too are singing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. And the words of the song are given you. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. If you have the King James, you have King of the saints. Those two words look pretty much alike in Greek, and both words are found in differing manuscripts. Some manuscripts have the word ages, some manuscripts have the word saints, and then a few manuscripts also have the word nation. So really there are three different versions in the various manuscripts of the book, and we don't know which one is the original. This is probably the best one. This is very likely the original, because most of the manuscripts have this. Now, when I talk about manuscripts, you all know that I'm talking about handwritten copies of the Bible before printing was invented. All copies of the Bible before that time were made by hand. And when they copied the Bible by hand, very often you got variations like this. They couldn't read the text. It might have been smudged and so on. And sometimes they had to guess at the word. And the result is that you don't always have exactly the same word in all of these manuscripts. And here you have an example of that. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages, or King of the saints. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name, for you alone are holy? All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. And then he says, so he's seen the victorious saints before God in heaven. Now after this, he looks and he sees in heaven the tabernacle of the testimony, which was opened. And out of the tabernacle, out of the temple, came the seven angels, which are dressed in white robes and shining robes. And they had seven bowls, and in these seven bowls are the wrath of God. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one could enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. Now, two things there I'd like to call your attention to. First of all, the temple was filled with smoke. Does that remind you of any vision in the Bible that you're familiar with? Some of you went to German services years ago and sang the German version of the Sanctus. Isaiah, mighty seer in days of old. The Lord on high in glory did behold. Some of you know that English version also. We don't use it so very much anymore. See, Luther wrote that hymn to substitute in the order of service for the Holy, 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 Lord God of Hosts in the communion service. And the German version says, Das Haus auch ganz voll Rauch zu Nebels waren, which is simply a reproduction of what it says in Isaiah 6. It says the whole house was filled. He saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, and his train filled the temple, and the whole temple was filled with smoke. And here we are told that the smoke represents the glory and the power of God. Smoke hides things. We talk about a smoke screen, and so the glory and power of God is hidden by a smoke so that men can... And at least that men do not see him in his full glory then. And it says that no one was allowed to enter the temple until the seven plagues were completed. Now, why did the high priest go into the temple? He went into the temple, first of all, to offer sacrifice and to pray for the people. Now, no one is allowed to enter the temple, which means, of course, that no one is allowed to come in before the presence of God to say any more prayers to the Lord. In other words, this is the time of God's wrath. God's people are safe. But you don't pray anymore for God's enemies. You know, John says John chapter 5, he says, if you see a brother who has committed a sin which is not unto death, then pray for him, and it shall be forgiven him. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. There you have the same thought expressed in more literal way. There comes a time when God says, don't pray for this people anymore. Now, those are not the only passages. You have it in Jeremiah. Jeremiah is told at one stage in his ministry, don't you pray for this people anymore. I'm through listening to prayers for those people because they have rejected me so often that I'm through with them. There comes a time when God's patience runs out, when God gives men over to their own will, when he simply says, all right, have it your way. And so here John says that he saw this time in heaven, in the temple of heaven, when no one was allowed to come in anymore, to speak any more prayers, because this is the time of God's last wrath. These are the last plagues of God. And now the last plagues that are described in chapter 16, all seven of them.